In the past two messages, we've taken a look at the picture of the potter and the clay. The picture of the potter and the clay. We have that beginning for us in the book of Jeremiah, where the Lord tells Brother Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and he'll cause him to hear his words. He's going to show a picture. And if you remember what I showed you, what I reminded us about, the time of Brother Jeremiah is the time of those last four kings or governors or appointees or puppets. Some of them, one or two of them were at least, by Nebuchadnezzar. They're at the end of the nation of Judah. And it was a real bad time. From the glory of the Lord's blessing upon Israel, the entire unified nation of Israel in the days of Brother David and Brother Solomon, they had come and fallen a long, long way. It was just really, really sad, kind of third world kind of things. But the Lord told Jeremiah in that. He told him, he instructed him, he said, can I do with Israel like the potter does with the clay? A vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, and so he folded it all back in and went to work at it again on the wheel, and he made it another vessel as he saw fit. And the answer is yes. Yes, the Lord can. And in repentance for you and me, for our nation, for the people of the world, for the nations of the world, repentance is always the blessed thing that we have of the Lord, to repent before and unto the Lord of our sins and our transgressions. While there's life and there's the Lord, with repentance, there can be help and deliverance. And then we took a look in Romans chapter 9, another reference about the potter, the picture of the potter and the clay. And so Paul mentions there about his great burden for his own brethren in the nation. He has a desire for them, that the Lord would save them. He wishes that he could give himself so that they would be saved. That's impossible, but that's his care and his love for them. It's the mind and the thinking and the way of Christ, because Christ was accursed for us. And then there are those that speak against the way of the Lord, and how Brother Paul, he brings out there that, you know, it's the power of the Lord that saves sinners. It's not by what we do. It's not by our strength, our power, even our choice, but it's the Lord that moves and saves sinners. And he poses there, he says, what if God, like the potter, would make some vessels upon which he would not show mercy, that on the vessels that he would show mercy, they would see how what they have been delivered from by the destruction and judgment that would come upon the other from the Lord. Now, what if God would work it that way? And some would say, so, well, you know, how can the Lord find fault if that's the way that it is, if it's all his working and his moving? He reminds us there, we're the created. He's the creator. It's not our place to try to justify our thinking or our ideas before God. God is God, and he does all things well. And if you've been touched by the Lord and saved, or you're hearing the word of God about your great need, your sin, and about the Savior that came to save sinners, you need to hear what God says and bow down to that and not be found like one that thinks that they can debate with God, because things are not up for debate. He's God. He's the creator. If it were not for God, there would not be one sinner saved. But what is it that he says at the end of that chapter? He says at the end of that chapter, how is it that the Gentiles have found righteousness, the righteousness of God? They found it by faith. They found it by faith in the rock, the stone that the builders disallowed. He says, how was it that the Jews missed the righteousness of God? They sought it by the law, by what they could do. They thought that they could keep the law before God and establish their righteousness. But you know what the Gentiles found? The Gentiles, you and me, we who are not Jews, we found that It's not by the law, but it's by faith in Christ. The Jews stumbled at the stumbling stone. You know, and that's a good point to make in that chapter 9. Don't stumble at the stumbling stone. That he is a stumbling stone to some, but receive the rock of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out unto him for mercy. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has shown us his work and his way, his ability, his purpose, the terribleness of our sin and depravity. And when he takes and he lifts off the veil off of some of that we can see it, if our hearts are right in it as we look at it and consider it and learn about it, we learn that God is wonderful and we are wicked and sinful in and of ourselves. And praise be to God that he would condescend, that he would come down to we of such low estate and bring us in salvation by Christ Jesus. Do you have Christ Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, you need him as your Savior. Repent and believe and trust in him. And so there we had those two pictures of the potter and the clay. Well, in this study, I saw something that I'd not seen before. Not that it wasn't there. It's always been there. I just didn't see it. And I want to try to share that with you tonight, another aspect of these pictures of the work of the potter and how the Lord uses it in describing some things, okay? We have this phrase, a bull in the china shop. You know, that just brings an image right off the bat, doesn't it? China is very, very fragile. The finest of china that's all glazed up and decorated, the plate, the substrate itself has been floured up in the way that it's been formed or pressed, and then the glaze is put on it, and then maybe somebody painted some different things on it, whether it's a vase or, I'll not say vase. We don't say vase in Western Kentucky, do we? We say vase. And different kind of things that would be made out of fine clay, you know, china. And then you turn a bull loose in that shop where that's sold. I mean, it just brings to the shop owner, it just brings a shudder, right? It's like they break out in a sweat and they're starting to count their inventory and the bull can't get in the place or out of the place without destroying nearly everything. Why is that? Well, you and I know that china, that the work of the potter, the work of the one that works the clay like that, all that work is very, very fragile. It's very fragile. You don't let your children play catch with grandma's china, right? You put it up safe. Right? That's put in a place that nobody can get to until those special meals or special days, if it's going to be kept at all. And then what happens when you get it out? Then the klutz in me just comes out and I'm knocking it off the table. It's very fragile, china is. Well, the Lord uses that picture also in the Word. And we want to take a look at how he uses that. And sad to say, what the Lord gives is good, but sad to say, it's in regards to judgment. And the thing is when the clay plate, the china plate, when it falls to the floor and it breaks and it goes and it's a hard fall, and maybe the piece has not been tempered as well, or maybe it just can't be tempered well. And when it hits the floor, envision how it's shattered to pieces. And it's impossible to put it back together. That's the picture that the Lord uses in his Word regarding such. In Psalm 2, we start off there in Psalm 2. The psalmist writes here and about this, about the heathen, and he's written Psalm 1 about the blessed man that walks not in the way of the wicked and sinful ways. And then he speaks about the heathen here in chapter 2, and it reads, why do the heathen rage? And that's what the heathen rage, that's what the heathen do, is they rage against the truth of God, the fact of God, the order of God that's been given to mankind. I mean, that's what's going on in our country today. The heathen are raging. They want to change every aspect of life that God has given unto us, given unto mankind, and the way that life is to be lived before Him. They want to take each and every piece of that that they can get their hands on and look to change it. But men won't change it. They may appear to change it for a while, but they won't change it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why is that? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They visit and they discuss over at Davos and those different groups. I mean, they get things together on how to run this world against the Lord, indeed, and against his anointed. That's his people saying, let us break their bands asunder. You know what? We need to do away with these social mores, these morals that these God-fearing folk pretend that they put forth. You know, we got to break that stuff off of us because we can do better than that as mankind. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They just bind us up. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and indeed he does and will. The Lord shall have them in derision. His contempt for the wicked and the ungodly that looks to change his way, he looks at that with the greatest of contempt. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. It's coming, and vex them in his sore displeasure. He does it along the way, but then in the end, he will do it in total and in completeness. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, the Lord says. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This is Jesus speaking. This day have I begotten thee. Jesus, God the Son, having become a man whose name is Jesus. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Because there is always that remnant, right? That's the way of the Lord, the remnant. And he will give of the heathen, the unbelieving, for an inheritance. And you know what? He saves his own, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I'll give you the whole world. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. This is the command, if you will, the Father speaking to the Son. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. That's going to come in the millennial reign. You know, those that don't believe in the millennial reign, but I think the scripture is very clear in telling us about the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son of Man, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, reigning over this entire earth, all continents, for 1,000 years. A longer reign than any dynasty has lasted. I think that's a fair statement, than any dynasty has ever lasted on this earth. Okay, but certainly any king. And you know what? The first day unto the last day of the 1,000th year, he'll be exactly the same. He won't be crippled up, kind of weak in his mind. No, he won't have any of that trouble. He'll be just as solid as he was day one. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and he'll rule with a rod of iron. Listen. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And so there's that picture in judgment. It won't be able to be put back together, that potter's vessel. That judgment on the heathen and the unbelieving and the unrepentant. That's the definition of the heathen. The unbelieving in God, in his Christ, in the Savior, and the unrepentant before God, because the Lord calls each and every soul to repentance. He'll dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And so here we have that picture. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Listen up, be instructed, you judges of the earth. The Lord's told it in advance. He's warned. He's warned the world in advance of these things. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. I enjoy that verse. We think about that. What is it that you see? Probably the thing most notable in our day is when people appear before the Pope, they will kiss his ring, kiss his hand. That is a show of honor, respect, subservience, and it's an element indeed of worship. It's a holdover from the days when kings more ruled and monarchies and such. Tell you what, you want to appease someone? Speaking to us, speaking to the world, you know, we are saved. We get it, don't we? I mean, the Lord is Lord, and we love him, and we serve him, and we worship him, and we repent unto him for our transgressions and our fault. We hate that when we do go against him and what he's given. And so we revere him, don't we? We do revere the Lord, don't we? Do we bow in our hearts indeed before the... Do we do that? Do we... bow before the Lord in our hearts? Would we bow in his presence willingly? As his children, that's where we should be found. Would we kiss his hand? Indeed. He's our Lord and our Savior. He's to be worshiped and glorified. You know, our sisters in the Gospels, they fell at his feet. Brother John fell at his feet. Our sisters in the Gospels, they kissed his feet in worship of him. Kiss the Son. If there's anybody to appease, let it be the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way in his anger. When his wrath is kindled but a little, that's all it takes. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And indeed, we are blessed, touched by the Lord, putting our trust in him. The picture of this potter's vessel, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, is a picture of unrepairable destruction by and because of the judgment of the Lord Almighty. Isaiah chapter 30. I got to watch Isaiah. I'm drawn to Isaiah a lot here lately. Brother Doug is heading towards Isaiah one of these days. He's studying that. And so he said, oh, Brother Jim, stay out of Isaiah. I try not to hang around there very long, Brother Doug. But there's some, Isaiah is just a wonderful, wonderful book. We see here in Brother Isaiah, to get that picture of the time of his prophecy, Uzziah to Hezekiah, right? Have I got that right? Uzziah to Hezekiah. That's the four or so previous kings to the kings that Brother Jeremiah, during the time of his prophecy, when it was. And so this is a little bit earlier, and that time frame, I think, always does us well to help us know the setting. As we go on, if you'll do that with the scriptures, especially the Old Testament scriptures, get the setting in time, of the nation of Israel and who's king and all that. As we learn more of that and understand more of that, the Lord will take some of that and fit that better together for us, and we'll have that interconnection between it. Brother Isaiah here, he's prophesying to Judah also. Israel is long, the northern part of the nation is gone. And we pick it up here in verse number 8 in chapter 30. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever. And so here, this chapter starts off, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You know, the nation has just become very wicked, the self-willed, self-wisdom, and such as that. They talk about going to other nations for help. Egypt is mentioned here. Who should they be going to for help? The Lord should be praying to the Lord for help, but they don't. Verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain. So go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I pray to God that it would never be that way about you and me. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Are you interested in the law of the Lord? The commands of the Lord? Are you interested in the will of the Lord? The way of the Lord? Which say to seers, prophets, see not, don't tell me anything about God. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but rather speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. We want to hear what's good and right to make us feel well. In the New Testament, we see a reference like that. Teachers having itching ears because the people will not endure sound doctrine. I mean, it's a warning to you and me, even today. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Does that not sound like the United States of America? We don't want you to even be talking about God. In this thing with this constitutional amendment, it was brought to mind. You know, there were some very notable politicians going back about 20 years ago that, you know, and they're very sly. They, you know, in our country, we have the freedom of religion to, and that's a secular reference, but for us to believe and to operate and move in what our conscience tells us. And we don't take and force upon any other citizen, any other frame of faith, but all are free to choose what they want faith-wise and to live it and to practice it and to follow it. But you know what these politicians, these power grabbers, you know what they started changing that to? They said, sure, the people have freedom to worship. They wanted to take the freedom of religion upon which our country was founded, and they wanted to take that and get that squeezed into the church house. You can go down there to your church house and do anything you want to inside, but don't you carry it outside. Freedom of religion is way different than freedom of worship. And you know what? That's what's happened, isn't it? That's what's happened. Slowly. Yeah, you keep it down there in your house. You keep it down there in your property. You keep it down there. And then they put pressure upon pressure upon pressure and made it harder, especially in some other states. You know, we're blessed pretty well here in Kentucky so far. But understand that. Freedom of religion. No. Not freedom of practice of religion. No. Freedom of worship. Yeah, you can go down there and do what you want to in your own space. When you come out here in the world, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. You get all that junk out of here. We don't want it because the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear about God or Jesus. You know, you can bring up in the legislature of the federal government, you can bring up any God you want to, but I tell you what, don't talk about Jesus. People might get offended. You know, you can talk about Satan, you can talk about Baal, you can talk about Egyptian gods, you can talk about Greek gods, Roman gods. But don't talk about Jesus. Don't bring up Jesus Christ. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel. Here's what his response is. Because you despise this word of mine and trust in oppression and perverseness, you trust in what you do to one another. Remember how we studied in the Minor Prophets, how that was one of the things that the Lord had against them, that they took, the leadership took and oppressed the people. They took and oppressed and squeezed all they could get out of the people. You trust oppression, you trust perverseness, and stay thereon, you stay right on that and do it and pursue it. Therefore, this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach, ready to fall. This is going to be just like the swelling out in a high wall. Have you ever seen a retention wall that began to fail? One day, somebody gets up and looks up there and says, you know what? There's a bulge up there in that retaining wall. That's what he's talking about. Whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. You know, wonder if that's going to break. I'll tell you what, it's moving towards breaking. When's it going to break? Get the engineer out there. They start looking around, figuring out the... Well, we just really don't know. We know it's not supposed to be that way, and it's going to get worse. He said the way this is going to be is it's going to come at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. You know, it's told in the scriptures that in the end, that this whole, the whole societal, the whole political, or certainly the economic system of the world is going to fall in one day. I mean, it's going to collapse in one day. The rule, I believe, going along with that will be the governments of the world. I mean, you let the financial of the world fall apart in one day. I mean, civilly it will fall apart, militarily it will fall apart, and that those will be the things that will happen before the man of sin comes in, the Antichrist comes in to be able to do what he's going to do. And he said, the Lord says, you follow after this wickedness and this way, this perverseness and oppression, and you stay right on that, and you don't want to hear anything about me. This, your situation is just like a bulging retaining wall, and it's going to break in an instant. And it's going to break like a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, the Lord will not. The judgment will come upon the unbelieving and unrepentant. And listen here how this is broken. I found this interesting. Verse 14 in the middle part. So that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. It's going to be breaking. It's going to be broken in such a complete destruction that you won't be able to take a shard. This is figurative. A piece of it. You won't be able to get a piece of that broken potter's vessel, which is a picture of the destruction in this judgment of the nation of Israel, and ultimately, I believe, can be applied to our world and our culture and our society and that. You won't be able to get over there to the fire and pick up any coals to take them anywhere else. It'll be that. There won't be even a usable speed. You won't be able to take a piece of it and go over there to the water and get up a half a teaspoon of water to carry it somewhere else. The destruction is going to be that complete. You know, the Lord gives us these pictures so that we can understand. He gave them to Israel. Nobody could, you know, a clay vessel that is shattered so, we just look at it. You've been around that. Break a plate, break something. Might have been really, really special to great-grandma. And you look at it, so there's no fixing that. That's the picture that he's given us here. The disobedience against God and the ultimate destruction and judgment because of that by him, no one escapes that is found at fault. And there is no repairing it once it comes. When it breaks forth instantly, there's no stopping it. There's no putting it back together. And he shall break it, verse 14, as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, the Lord will not, so that there shall not be found in it the bursting of it, the vessel, assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out from the pit. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Hear that? The only way you can be saved is in returning and resting in him. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. and ye would not. Okay? So he's speaking to Israel there. We go on to verse number 16. But he said, no, for we will flee upon horses. But ye said, no. And this is Isaiah speaking to these right here. No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on an hill. So, Brother Isaiah is given this from the Lord to deal with Israel or Judah in that day. He said, the destruction that's coming upon you is got like this breaking, this bulging wall that's going to come and burst through, and there's going to be no stopping it. It's going to break and destroy the whole system that in way that you trust in to where it's unrepairable. And you may have ideas that you'll be able to run. You may have ideas that you'll be able to flee or get help somewhere else. And the Lord says, I'll make everybody faster than you. And what's going to come down to it is that one that comes upon you, thousands of you'll run. And when five come upon you of your enemies, you just won't even have the heart or the courage to stand at all. And said, what's going to be left? What's going to be left? And as you're in your running, you're going to be like those that are going to go up to the highest points of the mountains, and there a fire be burning. What's going to be happen? The destruction of you is going to be so full and so complete that up on the mountaintops, there you'll be little fires. You'll be up there like a victory token for the victor, because you're not going to come down and fight. There's not enough of you to fight. You're going to be just these little points of the resistance that was too afraid to stand and has no power to come back and take anything back. That's what he told to Israel. It applies also to the world today, in the system today. I think we can take it and apply it that way. Those that trust in this world, those that trust in the wisdom of man, those that trust in their own thinking and trust in the ways of sin and disobedience, that way is like a bulging wall, and when it comes to destruction, when the Lord quits his quivering eye, his winking eye stops, and he brings judgment, there will be no undoing it. Be no escape. All will be overtaken. We see in Revelation chapter 2 a reference like this, and this is the reason that I believe that we can take that and apply it even to our day. It's there's a principle in here in the way and judgment of the Lord. And to this church at Thyatira, he writes in Revelation 2, verse number 18, he speaks unto them. He says, these things, verse 18 of chapter 2 of Revelation, and of the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. And that's what John saw. He says, I know your works. I know you, church. Okay? Revelation 2, we come over here to verse number 26. And he that overcometh, and the Lord gives a promise to the overcomers in every church in Revelation 2 and 3 of these seven churches in Asia Minor. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, be faithful. Child of God, be faithful to him to the end. To him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. Who's going to rule with a rod of iron? Well, the Lord Jesus is. And we're going to rule and reign with him. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers. Yeah, the saints are going to have part in that. It'll be the divine execution of the judgment of God. There we won't be, those involved with such, the children of God, won't be freelancers. We won't be just running amok doing, we'll be doing what he says to do. And so the reference comes all the way down here to the end times. Even as I received of my Father, he said, I'll be doing it. And those that overcome with me, you'll be doing it too. In Jeremiah chapter 19, we have our last example of this use. Again, Brother Jeremiah is those last four kings. And he used this, the Lord told him to use this as a picture. And the thing is to use it before the ancients. You know, somebody that's been around the Word of God and been saved for a long, long time ought to know better. That's you know, we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And this was a word that the Lord told to take to the old ones. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 19, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. So he said, you go get that. And take of the ancients of the people, that means the oldest that's here, they've seen the most of what's been going on. And of the ancients of the priests, you go to the priesthood and then you get the oldest of those fellows. And go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, this valley of Hinnom. Do you remember what that's all about? Let's read. That the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. I'm going to bring evil on this place like it's never been seen before. That's what God said. Why? Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods. It's been a place of the worship of false gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, even new inventions, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Remember how that is, as Hosea lays it out very plain for us, that there's three ways that a nation, the nation of Israel and any nation, goes against God. They go against his word, number one. They begin to destroy their innocents, their children. And then they suffer the sodomite in the way of the sodomy in the land. That's what the Lord spells out. That's the destruction of any nation. And he said, this valley of Hinnom, it's been the place of false worship, and it's been where the blood of your children have been shed. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. I never said to do any of that. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet. And that was a reference to that relative to, I believe, if I remember correctly, one of the gods that they worship. It'll not be called Tophet, the place where you go sacrifice your children, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. It's going to be called the valley of slaughter because the Lord's going to bring judgment there. You remember how it was there when the minor prophets, where the Lord said, where you have gone and your false priests have gone and worshiped and sacrificed unto false gods, there I'm going to strew their carcasses in that devoted divine place, quote unquote, that you've given to these other gods. I'm going to take those very ones that led in that thing and I'm going to slaughter them. They're going to be slain there and scattered in that place. The Lord's going to make a statement in that judgment. He's going to make it the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah. There'll be no understanding. And Jerusalem in this place. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate. I'll make it an hissing. Everyone that passeth by shall be astonished and hiss because of the plagues thereof. It'll be so destroyed. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness. And that's talking about the enemy coming upon. And you're reading it right, that they would get so desperate in the surrounding of the cities that they would even consume their own children and one another. Cannibalism. Wherewith their enemies and they that seek their life shall straiten them. They'll seal the place up. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. So these things are what Jeremiah is to say. And then he takes that bottle right there in front of him, and he breaks it. And what's it do? It goes into slivers. And shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even to make this city as Tophet, speaking of Jerusalem. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet. All the leadership and the pomp, remember how it was in Israel and in Samaria? They had the summer house, they had the winter house, they had all that finery and everything that they enjoyed, the luxury on the black backs of their brethren. He said, I'm going to defile it all, because all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense to all the hosts of heaven and have poured out drink offerings to other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I've pronounced against it. Why? Because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. That's the bottom line. They've hardened up their neck and they won't turn to the Lord speaking. They won't turn from their wicked ways. They say no. Clench their jaw, want what they want, and will not hear the warning of the Lord. That's pretty rough, isn't it? But that's the picture that the Lord warns with. The potter's vessels used as a picture for the Lord. You know, if you're here and you're not saved, without Christ Jesus as your Savior, you will be utterly destroyed. We don't want that for you. By no means. We don't want that for any soul. But you know what? There's help with the Lord, and there's hope with the Lord. There's rescue with the Lord, and that's repent. These people, you know, the Lord took his word unto them by this prophet. You know, Jeremiah suffered miserably, didn't he? Isaiah was told by the Lord to do some things that I sure wouldn't want to do. But the Lord sent them unto his people, unto his nation, unto the unbelieving, that they would be warned, that they might turn. And that's the way the Lord does. As he gives a warning, he's merciful that way. He's long-suffering that way. And so if you're here and you're not saved, or maybe you're here and you're saved and you're wayward, turn. Turn from your wicked way. I've been thinking about what it says, that the work that we've been given as the Lord's people, and that's mentioned there in the epistles to the church at Corinth, that We beg you, Paul says, we beg you, we plead with you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. Because the destruction of the Lord is unrepairable. It's like that china plate that gets broke. It can't be put back together. But you know what? While there's life in the Lord, there's repentance and there's help.